It's time for the FedEx Cup playoffs, and we've got you covered here at DFS Army, top to bottom, so that you can be dead by noon with your lineups on Thursday. Let's go. What up, what up, what up, everybody? It's your boy, DFS Up North, a.k.a. Josh Thomas, here with another Dead by Noon PGA podcast brought to you by DFS Army, where I give you all the plays to make sure that you are done watching golf by Thursday at noon. And you can go on and do something else with your life. Maybe waste some money on preseason football, right? Because these are the worst plays. No, I'm just kidding. But we got the FedEx Cup playoffs this week, guys. It is the... We're in TPC Southwind. We're in Memphis. This is the old WGC FedEx St. Jude. So it's an exciting week. This year is the first year that they're just doing top 70 and ties are in, or not even top 70 and ties, because Justin Thomas would have got in, but top 70 are in the playoffs. We cut it down to 50 next week. That goes to the BMW, and then we go to 30 for the Tour Championship. And so these next 3 weeks of DFS golf are a little bit interesting because they're all no cuts, right? And not only are they no cuts, but they're limited field. This week's more of a normal no cut, but as we kind of keep going here, things are going to change. And then you get to the Tour Championship, and we're talking about different scores, and it's a mess. We'll cover that when we get there. But some of the strategy this week is going to be about how to attack these no cut contests. And we'll talk about that when we get there. Talk about lineup construction. We'll build some lineups for FanDuel, because everybody says we don't give FanDuel enough love. I get it. My sheets are pretty much focused towards DK for the most part. So we'll give some FanDuel some love here on the pod this week. So let's get into it. Let me share my screen here. And we are talking not about the 3M. We are talking about... Man, I got to go view all articles. I've had that page up for a while. So it's scrolling through. TPC Southwind at... Memphis, Tennessee. Okay, longtime staple event on the tour. And again, I'm just reading off my PGA Tour course preview, which is free for you guys at dfsarmy.com, the brand new dfsarmy.com. So you get access to this for free. If you want access to like my cheat sheets, the research station, which we'll look at here in a little bit. If you want access to that, then you can become a DFS Army VIP, and you can use that code up north down there. That gets you 10% off for life, or... what is it? NFL 2023, I think, is the code that gets you 25% off for life, which is an insane, insane deal right now. I'll make sure to link that down below in the biography, or what do we call it? What do you even call that? In the description? Yeah, there you go. But yeah, so everybody gets a 6-6 this week, which is exciting because I feel like I haven't had a lot of 6-6s in a while. But TPC, Southwind, challenging layout, lots of water hazards. I like the finishing holes here. They bring some drama into this, especially 18. And pretty small Bermuda greens. We're talking about 4,500 square feet. Hubie Green and noted racist Fuzzy Zeller are... in collaboration with Ron Pritchard, who doesn't get a ton of credit, but is a pretty good designer, helped develop this course, par 70, about 7244. Like I said, small greens, water hazards, pretty standard, right? Got to be good port, tee to green, lots of par fours, some key holes to watch, par 3, 165 yard, water lurks to the right with prevailing crosswind, club collection becomes critical, and then the 18th, which is a great finishing hole. You got to hit basically 3 wood down the tee so that you don't get into the bunkers deep. Anything left is going in the water, and then anything that you yank left is going in the water as well as you attend the green, with a large bunker in the front, which Daniel Berger screwed me on a couple of years ago when I had a Daniel Berger outright. When he chipped in from there, distance is always an advantage in the tour, but I do think that Southwind does emphasize accuracy over sheer power. And when we see some of the guys who have done well here over the years, you'll probably agree with me. This spring, they finished all their fairway conversions, meaning that the last fairways that they had to do were 1, 2, 16, and 18. And now everything is the Xeon Zoysia grass. If you don't know what Zoysia grass is, it's basically the best turf that you can have out there. It's super nice. You get no bad lies in the fairway. But as you get off the fairway here into the rough, rough. We're talking about Bermuda grass, about 2.5 inches. It's going to be fairly lush. They got 15 inches of rain in July, which is bonkers, right? Hindered some of the tournament prep. And these fairways, right? We said that accuracy is important here. The landing areas are only about 25 yards wide on average. Greens, Champion, Bermuda, they'll run about 10, or I mean, sorry, not 10. They'll run about 12, 12 and a half this week. It's an interesting course. Some guys that have been really good here over the years are Hideki, who we're going to check here in a second, but I think is the only former winner in the field. Rory, Ricky, Jason Day, Patrick Cantlay, then guys coming in hot. If you were to look at this last week, we had golfers with fire history. Was the headliner was Russell Henley, and the golfers coming in hot was Lucas Glover. So if that is to hold here, you just play Decky and JT Poston, and you are going to win all the monies this week, right? But Glover, Benny on, Rory McIlroy, Brian Harman, all coming in looking good. What else do we got that's important here? I really do think this is a ball striker's paradise. You got to find fairways, but you can club down here. It's not super long. It brings the drama. I'm excited. This is going to be a fun week. So if we look at sort of the course history here, yeah, I'm almost like 100% positive that Decky is the only former winner here. And maybe I'm wrong. I thought I had a Hideki with a WG. We got to look this up now. Got to get the wiki going. I'm almost positive that Hideki won here. And this could be just a mix up in our research station, or it could be that I'm an insane person and I don't know. And I am wrong. Gosh, dang it. Thought I had Decky with a win here. No, he lost to Answer and Burns. Yeah. I remember that. 2021 playoff. Abe Answer got done. I was so excited for him. We'd been on him for a while, and now he's on the live tour and dead to me. So there's some guys, you know, that have good course history here. John Rahm, 5th and 7th. Rory, 12 and 14th. But, like, this stretch by Scotty and Rory here is just bonkers. Just bonkers, actually. I really don't have a better word for it. It's insane what these two have been doing this year. Scotty is rolling a new putter this week. I believe Rory might be trying out new putters too, which is a good thing when we look over here. And you can see in our research station that this is from for a world-class golfer, for him to have this sort of putting statistics is what we would say is not good. Disappointing for Scotty, to say the least, because these tee to green numbers are absolutely freaking insane. So we said, you know, you gotta be a good ball striker, right? So let's give it a bigger sample size. We go over the last 25 rounds. Guys that have been good ball strikers are guys like Scheffler, Hubbard, Smalley, who I love this week, right? Hubbard's actually do some positive regression, and so is Eric Cole. When we look at their long-term numbers, their irons actually should come back a little bit. Henley, Morikawa, who I'm really high on this week, especially given that the putter is starting to come around. You got guys like John Rahm, Lee Hodges coming off a win, Adam Schenck, been really, really good here the last, you know, little bit here. A miss at the Open Championship I'm not concerned about, but this like seventh, second, I'm intrigued by Adam Schenck at 6,400, right? So those are some of your good ball strikers. You said you got a fine tee to green is important, but I'm not going to look at driving accuracy too much this week because everybody's going to kind of hit fairways. But, you know, if we were to look at it, let's see if driving accuracy correlates to good results here. Not really. A third for Glover last year. Putnam and Morikawa and Corey Connors kind of fit that bill, but it's not something that I'm, you know, really diving in on this week. How do you play in a no cut event though? That is intriguing to me because there are some guys who are just really, really good in no cut events, right? So Cantlay typically beats what this number tells us is that on average, Cantlay beats 84% of the field. So these guys at the top are obviously going to be good. Where what we want to see is kind of this mid-tier range. So guys who are good in no cuts, I love that on Sam Burns. 77%. Love that. 76% Sungjae. Henley. Seamus Power, who I'm not on this week, but weirdly pretty good in these no cuts. Morikawa. Connors, who I'm high on, right? Let's see how they look in strong field events. We don't have a ton of data in here on strong field events, but Cantlay is crushes, right? Anybody else that kind of shows up out of nowhere here? Detry played really, really well last week. Jason Day, John Rahm, Cam Davis, who I've been underestimating. So just an interesting look in on the research station if you wanted to use something like that to help you build your player pool. If we look here, we can see another thing that is super handy. I'm going to sort these by name so I can find TPC Southwind. All right, so if we go to Southwind, we can just kind of bring this to the top here. We can see that par 70, average field size is obviously a little bit different now. But we can see at this at Southwind, lots of approach strokes between 150 and 175. A decent amount of sand strokes, low putt number. The reason that low putt number is because we have very, very small greens. But not many guys are going to, you know, not hit a ton of fairways in regulation here. And they're really not going to hit a lot of greens in regulation because they're small. So what you got to be is a fairly good scrambler, right? Scrambling stats are a little tricky just because it is something that, I don't it, like if you're a good ball striker, you're around the green stats and might not be very good because you hit so many greens in regulation. But let's just look last 25 rounds, right? Who's been good around the greens? And we've got Rory, Taylor Montgomery, Scottie Scheffler, Tony Finau, Justin Rose. And are any of these guys really, really bad at hitting greens in regulation? Well, Taylor Montgomery, that's interesting to me. That Monty only hits 58% of the greens and is really good around the greens. That's a little surprising to me. But yeah, Jagger, who I'm really high on this week. But all right, so as we go to the builds, right, this week, let's look at, let me sort back here by salary. Okay, you're going to see that because there's only 70 players in the field and they still price all the way down to Deadman, right, or 7,000 on FanDuel, right, you're going to see that it's very, 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 very easy to build a lineup. So if we, I'm going to slide over here. Let me bring up FanDuel. It's probably going to make me log in because I'm on my downstairs computer. Or are we going to get lucky here? Looks like we got lucky. All right. So if we were just going to, oopsies, what happened to that? PGA. All right. So if we were going to build here, right, you can tell like how easy it is, because if I play Scotty and Rory, I've got 89.25. I can afford, I mean, I feel pretty good about those two together. If you played these three, do you feel that bad about your lineup? Right? So if I got to dip down here, let's say I go, like all of a sudden I can play Sam Ryder at 7,100, who's been playing great golf. And now I'm looking at 8,000. Well, I can play Smalley, who's been awesome. Missed the cut last week. And then I can play Putnam. Like, how good is that? Right? How good is that? The problem is that I feel really good about that. But guess what? So is everybody else, right? Everybody else is going to feel good about these no-cut lineups, right? Because the pricing is really soft. Actually, and this was, like, easy for me to build. I think it's easier to build on DK than FanDuel this week, which is wild, right? So my strategy this week, guys, is that instead of just like that, like I'm gonna have some of these stars and scrubs lineups, okay? But my strategy this week is that I am going to build a more balanced lineup by hammering sort of this middle range. So I like guys that I love this week. Colin Morikawa. Oops, I clicked Tyrell Hatton. I like Tyrell Hatton too. I really like Colin Morikawa this week. I think Fitzy's sneaky. I love Wyndham Clark. He's a little bit more priced up on FanDuel, but like now I'm still feeling pretty good about this. Let's say I sneak down and get a Connors, right? Okay. Benny On's been playing good. Don't bet against Ben On, right? Who can I get at 9,000? Detry, who I said has been great. I think Cole is due some positive regression. Maybe your GPP stud this week out of nowhere is going to be Taylor Moore or Adam Svensson. Okay. But let's say I put Detry in there because he's been playing good. How good is that lineup? Honestly, I'd probably get rid of On. I'd probably go Jagger. And then that lets me play Siwoo or Cam Davis, who's been great. That's a really, really good lineup. That's going to be a very low owned lineup, just because of the pricing this week. So I'm really high on lineups like this week. That's something that I am going to be playing and pushing forward. And, you know, in no cut events, you have to sort of get sneaky sometimes, right? You don't have the, you want to, when everybody's going one way, you want to go the other, especially because we have four rounds here, right? So because we have four rounds, everybody is in play, right? Clark has a bad first round. He comes back the next three and crushes, right? Nobody's dead. Your lineups aren't dead. You feel good on Saturday. Good luck, because you got Sunday coming. When you're setting up the DS for something like this, again, I don't think you need to get like super different. But let's say I'm going to build like 50 lineups, I'm gonna enter the quarter or something like that. Ways that we can make ourselves different here, especially on like a FanDuel, is just drop your salary. Like if I go to 59, this is something that we do in Showdown a lot for NFL, which by the way is coming up. You want to get in DFS Army, NFL 2023, I believe is the code. You can find it on our Twitter. You can find it on my Twitter, on DFS Army's Twitter, but that'll give you 25% off, not just for your first month, for life. Which is an unreal deal. One of the best deals that we've ever ran, which is crazy to think about. But yeah, we'll be all over you guys for the Showdown stuff. But you can force at least one player under. Right now, it's not going to work because we don't have stuff in or ownership in yet. But I don't love forcing players in there. I'd leave my salary range open. Let's just see what happens here. Let's see who the DS loves this week. FanDuel I love because I don't have to like or love anybody, and it just tells me who the best player is. So what are they going to do? All right, so their FanDuel, based on projections, right, is going to... What if I run... No, I'm going to run this just dry. Dry as a bone here. Let's go to zero. No randomization. Let's just see what we get. What's the optimal on FanDuel this week? Let's see. I'd love if it was just what I built. That'd be insane. Similar though, right? Similar. So they just went a different route. So Scotty, John Rahm, McElroy, Shank, Hubbard, Griffin. I don't mind that. Shank, Hardy, Ryder. There we go. Hardy. Oh yeah, Hardy's super cheap and he's been playing well too. They love Adam. We love Adam Shank's projection this week. So we're gonna get lots of Shank, and it's putting 100% Rory McIlroy in our lineups, which is something that is intriguing to me. But for me, I'm almost always my Noom Lock's not on. I'm almost always going exposure max 60 over here. Let's see how that changes things up. Still likely going to give me that same lineup first. Yep. But again, you can always glean a little about what lineups are going to look like just based on what these are doing. It loves Adam Shank. The DS loves Adam Shank this week. Again, I've said it once. I've said it 1,000 times. The DS is smarter than me. So I am going to up my Adam Shank exposure because the DS projections love him at his price point, especially at least on FanDuel. I'm on FanDuel right now. And that's the other thing is that can change site to site. Whatever. My kids aren't in bed yet. I can go over here and do this. Let's go to DraftKings. Let's just look at DraftKings real quick and see if it gives me Shankopotamus. All right. Tournament mode. Let's do one unique. We're not going to force anybody. And I'm just going to say I got to like three people here, right? Morikawa. I like Fitzy. And I like Wyndham Clark. All right, let's see what the DS kicks us here. Again, I think it's easier to build on DraftKings this week. I don't know why. It just comes together easier for me when I'm sitting on the toilet and building lineups, which, by the way, that is my new workshopping this idea. So let me know in the comments if you think it's a good idea. I'm 100% convinced that at least 25% of all DFS lineups across the industry, across contest, across sport, are built while somebody's sitting on the toilet. So I am going to do like toilet build Tuesdays or Thursdays. I'm not going to be sitting on the toilet. Maybe I'll put a bathroom background back here, but I am going to, you know, build like three lineups. We're going to track it. I'm going to see how it does on Sunday. I'm not going to touch them because that's the other thing is like 25% of lineups are built on the toilet, but then people F with them all week. Like unless there's a major injury that I need to mess with, like one of my guys gets hurt or something pops up, I am riding or dying on those. Even if like a chalk cheap play comes up, I'm not messing with it, because I just think sometimes our first instincts sitting on the toilet are better than a week's worth of, you know, messing with stuff. So, but that's, I'm workshopping that idea for the fall for NFL here. So be on the lookout for that on the DFS Army page. But who do we like here on DraftKings? Ooh, what? That is wild to me. The Shank, what's his price? I don't know it off the top of my head, but the Shank number on DraftKings is like, I'm getting 100% Shank on the other site. Where, how much is he? That's wild. He's only 6,400. Got good fantasy points per dollar. Ooh, that is interesting. Is it because I like, okay, what if, I'm gonna run this again. Hold on. I'm not gonna like this mid-tier because it's gonna give me more, like, it's gonna give me more mid-tier lineups, right? So what if I just like, I don't know. I like, oh yeah, I love Smalley this week. Let's say I like Smalley. Interesting. It still gives me $11,000 builds, which, I mean, it feels good, but again, you don't really, I don't know. I am going a different direction than a lineup like this for the most part. I'm also not playing a lot of Emiliano Grillo this week. Okay, let's just run this one more time and see what happens. I think that's crazy that I am on FanDuel, we're getting tons of Shank, and on DraftKings, you're getting none. That's wild to me. All right, where is he at? Where's the boy? I'm still only getting him in one lineup out of 50. That's insane. But it just goes to show the difference between each site and the pricing, especially this time of year when we're looking at a no-cut event and how you can build. It's, you can just, you can stack more of those top guys on DraftKings or on FanDuel. So, I mean, even though I think it's harder to build on FanDuel, maybe that's because I'm building more of a balanced lineup this week. And on DraftKings, everybody's, you know, it's the opposite, right? So that's interesting. That's interesting to me. I'm kind of shocked by that, actually, because the guys at the top are similar, right? I gave Morikawa a slight bump and I'm getting 84%. What if I take that bump away from Morikawa? This stuff's always, I'm just intrigued by this, and I give it to Clark. Am I still going to get 84% Morikawa? Let's see. No. Just that little touch. Interesting. So apparently the DS loves JT Poston, Lee Hodges, and it loves trying to pair Rory and John Rahm together and has no love for Scottie Scheffler on FanDuel, which is interesting, or on DraftKings, which is interesting. But if you want to mess around with it, you want to look at it, why don't you come to DFS Army VIP? You can use that code UPNORTH, 10% off for life. But really, what are you doing? Use that code NFL2023. It gets you 25% off for life. Good luck this week, guys. I really appreciate it. Have a fantastic second week of August. Have a great first week of the playoffs. Let's get it. Cheers.